بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been studying different features of the community of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and after studying the necessity of being balanced, being truthful, being united, we talked about the necessity of observing the rights of each mu'min, and we said there are lots of rights that mu'minin should observe, and these are indeed to keep the community together and form a very solid, united community, like one body, as Rasulullah said, that the example of mu'mineen in their love, in their sympathy, in their affection is like one jasad. مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل جسد. It's like one body, different cells and organs of the same body. I want now to mention a very important hadith, and then inshallah we move on to another characteristic of the community of Ahlul Bayt, and that is to do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar. I again also remind brothers and sisters that those who follow this discussion and, you know, want to later also reflect, a summary is alhamdulillah available, so you can refer to the Hujjat website, or there is a page also that you can follow, and each day alhamdulillah so far has been put there and you can follow. This hadith is a very important hadith in Mustadrak. قَالَ قُلْتُ لَأَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ ما حق المؤمن على المؤمن. We had a hadith yesterday. Mu'alla ibn Khunais had asked Imam Sadiq, this is another hadith, what is the right of mu'min over another mu'min? Imam said, inna min haqq al-mu'min 'ala al-mu'min al-mawaddata lahu fi sadrih. The first thing is that you should love your brothers and sisters. There must be real love in your chest for them. We are not a community that are kept close to each other because of power of force, or, you know, I don't know, because of some, you know, selfish reasons, or because we want to, you know, gain something in dunya, or like a political party. They may hate each other, but they work together for some reason. We are a community that are together because we love each other. Love for Allah and love for Ahlul Bayt has made us love each other. So the first right is to love your brothers and sisters in your heart, in your chest. وَالْمُوَاسَاتَ لَهُ فِي مَالِهِ. If you have something and your brother or sister doesn't have enough, you share. You share your money with them. وَالْخَلَفْ لَهُ فِي أَحْلِهِ. If your brother or sister travels, goes for Hajj, goes for business, is ill, admitted in hospital, for any reason he or she is absent, you look after the family, help them, so try to somehow replace and fill the gap. وَالنُّصْرَحْ لَهُ عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَهِ. If someone has done zulm to him, you support him. وَإِنْ كَانَ نَافِلَةً فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَكَانَ غَائِبًا أَخَذَ لَهُ بِالنَّصِيبِهِ. if something is distributed, you know, for example, at that time when there was public, you know, treasury house, Beitul Mal, sometimes there were some booties, something, you know, some profits, they were dividing. So if someone was absent, was losing perhaps, there was no bank account to put in the bank account. So if there is anything which is distributed, which is good, you keep for your brother and sister. وَإِذَا مَاتَ الزِّيَارَ إِلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. If he or she dies, you don't forget. Say, okay, as long as he or she is alive, you know, we are close, but then we forget. No. Even after death, we have to remember, visit them. Alhamdulillah, this community is very loyal to the dead people, and I very much appreciate that. Even in the wedding, they remember the dead people. It's very important. وَأَلَّا يَكْذِبَهُ or يُكَذِّبَهُ. Either means not to tell lie to each other or not to deny and reject each other. A mu'min doesn't tell lies to the brother and sister, and also when he speaks, doesn't say you are a liar. Believes in what he says. Of course, sometimes you take also some measure to check, you know, if there is something which has some legal impact, but you don't say you are a liar. You say, I respect what you say, but then you also do some investigation if it is needed. And then, look at this. وَأَلَّا يَقُولَ لَهُ أُفْ. You know, Allah says in the Quran, you cannot say off to your mother, to your father. What does off mean? Means to say that I am, you know, tired. I am, you know, fed up. You are boring. You are, you know, making me suffer. And our hadith says this is the least that can be said in word. Off is very slight, very gentle, but still we must not say this to our parents. And this is for all parents, whether they are Muslim, kafir, any parent, we should be very careful not to be impolite. But mu'mineen also should be very polite with each other. Mu'min has great respect. Even some hadith says the respect of mu'min is more than Kaaba. Hurmatul Muslim. Allah's expectation from us is to have such regard for Muslim that we have for Kaaba. So you cannot say to mu'min that I don't like you, I na'uzu billah hate you, go away, get lost. This is not what you say to mu'min. وَإِذَا قَالَ لَهُ أُفْ فَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمَا وِلَايَةٌ. If you say to mu'min أُفْ, then your wilayah is finished. Because between mu'mineen, there is wilayah that connects them with each other and with Allah and Ahlul Bayt. المؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. Mu'mineen are wali for each other. They are guardians for each other. If a mu'min says bad things, bad words to his brother and sister, and says, I hate you, I don't like you, I don't want to see you anymore, then the wilayah is finished. وَإِذَا قَالَ لَهُ أَنْتَ عَدُوِّي. If God forbids, it goes higher. Say, you are my enemy. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to damage your reputation. I'm going to do something with you that no one is going to vote for you again. I'm going to do something that no one marries you. Then Imam said, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Then at least one of them, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَحَدُ. At least one side is kafir. Maybe both sides are kafir, but at least one is kafir. So this is the amount of respect that mu'min has. And if in community we observe this respect, how united and how close our community become. No one can penetrate and do fitna in this community, whether from inside or outside. Because everyone is 100% careful about others. وَإِذَا تَهَمَهُ. If he accuses him of something, of a sin, of a crime, انماث الايمان في قلبه كما ينماث الملح في الماء. Iman will melt, will be disappearing, like putting salt in water. When you put salt in water, salt will be melt and will disappear, will be resolved. His iman will be finished. If I accuse a mu'min of the thing that he has not done. So we have to be very careful. We are not dealing with ordinary people. We are dealing with mu'mineen. Even with respect to ordinary people, we have to be careful. With respect to animals, we have to be careful. Even Imam Ali says, to do zulm to an ant is so great that if you give me all the seven continents and the sky, I'm not going to do it. Even doing zulm to an ant. What? Mu'min is another thing. If you do zulm to mu'min, if you destroy the reputation of a mu'min, you are declaring war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be very careful. May Allah also keep me to be very careful, because I have great responsibility as an alim. My responsibility is more. Please pray for me. So we all have to observe this. So a community of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is a community that mutual love, friendship, affection, tender keeps them together, and they don't let anyone to divide them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that one requirement of this wilaya is amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar. المؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. Because they have wilaya, they have right over each other, they feel responsible for each other. What happens to you is important for me. I cannot say I don't bother. So if there is any way to help you, I have to help you. If you forget, I have to remind you. If you don't do something which is good and you are missing, I have to tell you. The same, you also should do the same with me if I forget. It's not amr bil ma'ruf, it's not because someone is superior and another person is inferior. No, it's mutual. If a person who is 90 years old does something wrong, a person who is 15 years old should tell him. And also vice versa. An alim, if does something wrong, you go and say, you have forgotten this, you have made some mistake. And also a person who is a lay person. This is mutual. All mu'mineen have responsibility to enjoin the good and prohibit the bad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, this is the only way to be saved from loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَبَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَبَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. This is the only way. No one can say, I am very alert, I am very pious, I am very careful, I don't need anyone to monitor me, to observe me, to advise me. We are all in need of advice. If you reflect on Surah As, it's very beautiful. Although in many places in the Quran, we emphasize on Iman and Amal Saleh, but here we say, in addition to Iman and Amal Saleh, we need this mutual advice. Why? Why Tawasi bil Haq wa Tawasi bil Sabr are important? Is it because Iman and Amal Saleh are not sufficient? No, Iman and Amal Saleh are sufficient. But to be able to always do Amal Saleh and keep your Iman, you need this mutual advice. This Tawasi is to make sure that you don't lose your Iman, you don't lose your momentum for doing Amal Saleh. So it's very important, this Tawasi bil Haq. Otherwise we will be in loss. Even sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel, Ezni, advise me, give me a mu'izah. Rasulullah was not, you know, embarrassed or, you know, feeling, you know, shy to say, you know, to advise me. Even Allah says to Rasulullah, with all the knowledge that he has, shawirhum fil amr, consult people. The same people that most of them were not even educated, they were annoying Rasulullah, but still Allah says consult them, so that this becomes a habit in the society. If the first person in the society who is ma'soom consults people, then everyone learns that we cannot make a decision without proper consultation. Therefore Allah says, it's very beautiful, Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَانْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah says, forgive them, because you are such a nice, kind, gentle person with them. If you were harsh and you were very hard-hearted, they would be separating and, you know, leaving you. But this is not enough. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ, forgive them. If they have annoyed you, if they have said bad things to you, forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, also ask me to forgive them. So Allah wants to forgive, but looks for some excuse. So Allah says, ask me also to forgive them. Like, you know, you say, you know, to someone, you know, please bring my child to back, I want to forgive him, but if I go, he will be spoiled. So you bring him and I will forgive him. Allah says, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, you forgive them, ask me to forgive them, but وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, the same sinful people that Allah says forgive them and ask me to, Allah says consult them. Because as a community, they should feel that they are important. Someone listens to them. Their opinion is important. They are heard. And maybe something good also is said by them. There is a chance that they may say something good. So if Rasulullah is supposed to do consultation, so who am I to say I don't need to consult anyone? So mu'mineen need advice, need support. There is a hadith about who is a good friend. We all are in need of having friends. Without friends, the life is very difficult. There is hadith that أَعْجَزُ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَجَزَ أَنْ اِكْتِسَابِ الْإِخْوَانِ, the most incompetent person is the one who cannot find friends, brothers. And worse than him is the one who loses the one he has already found. So we have to have friends. But one quality of friend has to be that if you forget, he reminds you. Ennasiya dhakara. Maybe I am today forgetting, for example, that I should say my salat on time. But I have a good friend in university. Whenever I forget, he reminds me. Or if I remember, wa in dhakara a'ana, maybe I remember, but to go together on time for salat is much easier than being alone. So if I forget, he reminds me. If I remember, he helps me. We go together, we do salatul jama'ah. So to have a good friend is very important. And to have a good community that supports you in your religious life, in your family life, social life, is a great blessing. So we are all in need of help. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-mu'minun wal-mu'minat ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd ya'muruna bil-ma'roof wa yanhauna 'anil munkar. Therefore they enjoin the good and prohibit the bad. Unfortunately, in liberal society that we are also somehow exposed to, there is such idea that no one should interfere in the life of other people. Of course, it's true that you shouldn't interfere, but then they make it, you know, very extreme, and then it leads to the position that you don't feel responsible to save anyone, to help anyone. You don't bother about what is happening to other people. You say, you know, everyone is responsible for his own affairs. Sometimes even parents don't feel any responsibility with respect to their children. Sometimes, you know, cousins, uncles, they all have been affected by this liberalism. Everyone should look after himself or herself. And sometimes, you know, we also misquote some verses of the Quran. It said, you know, lakum dinukum waliya din. Or, you know, some people say, you know, in Farsi we say, Musa bedin khod, Isa bedin khod. Everyone, you know, should go to his own direction. So what is Amr Ma'ruf then? Why so much emphasis has been put on Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar? And indeed, the Quran says this is a very quality of the ideal community. The community which we were talking about, كَذَلَكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا or أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Another quality of this community is that it has to be enjoining the good and prohibiting the bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran, if you start from verse 103 that we recited last night and go up to verse 110, then you would see how Allah connects these issues together. Verse 103 was وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah says, remember how Allah united your hearts. We explained this last night. Immediately after this, Allah says, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ بِالْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So that community that we are looking for, that community that we want to establish, is a community that calls towards khair, towards good, invites its members and also outsiders towards the good. وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. You have to establish a community, a nation, a group of people who themselves understand khair. Second, practice khair. Third, encourage other people to observe khair. If you have something useful, if you have something good, you don't share it with other people. If you have a good experience, you share it with other people. So, when we have good values that Allah has taught us, we have to share with other people. يَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They enjoin to observe ma'ruf. And يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Inshallah, I will explain what is ma'ruf and what is munkar. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا. The issue of unity again comes. You know how beautifully unity and Amr Ma'ruf, they are connected. Allah says, do not be like the people who were divided. وَاخْتَلَفُوا. They disagreed. مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. After receiving all the evidence, all the clear manifest signs, guidance from Allah, because of zulm, because of their desires, they were divided. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. They have great punishment. So the previous group who are united and they invite other towards good, they do Amr Ma'ruf, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. But this group, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So we have a choice between falah and azab. Either we want happiness and success or we want punishment. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُ وُجُوهٌ. This contrast will be very clear on the Day of Judgment. Today the contrast sometimes is not clear unless you have insight. You see, you know, what is the difference between this community and that community, between pious people and people who are not pious? Sometimes we don't understand. But on the Day of Judgment, it's a matter of black and white, light and darkness. It's 100% clear. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this contrast is continuing and أما الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون. Those whose faces are enlightened, they have light on their face, they would be in the mercy of Allah forever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. This is verse 110. You are the best community, the best nation brought out for mankind. This is very important ayah. You know, before I explain this ayah, I have to explain something. Throughout the history, normally every religion has tried to keep its members and adherents together. One way of doing this, which has been very common, is to say, by following this religion, you have salvation and other people go to hell. Or you are a special people, you are chosen people, you are first rank human beings, others are not human beings, or less human beings. So sometimes they have used different techniques to keep their own people together. Because if people think that by following that religion, they are not getting anything special, so they say, why we should follow this religion? So they have to be given some kind of privilege. So many people have done this. Unfortunately, even sometimes in religious traditions, people have added this, although this was not in origin. But they say, we are chosen people of God. We are very special. We are awliya'ullah min dun an-nas. We are the people that Allah has chosen us as His friends. But Islam has a different approach. Islam says, kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best nation. But not in the sense that you are to be served, you are to be worshipped, you are superior. No. You are the best which is brought out for the benefit of humanity. Which means you are the best to serve. It's very beautiful. In Islam, if anyone is given any credit, any high regard, it's because he is more beneficial for people. An alim, a doctor, engineer, anyone who is contributing to the life of people receives respect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that receives the maximum respect among human beings, he never said, I am a special human being, I am another category. Innama ana basharun mithlukum. But why we have so much respect for Rasulullah? Because he is beneficial for us. He is helping us in our salvation. He is conveying the message of Allah. Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he said when he was born, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. Allah has made me mubarak, means blessed, and a source of blessing wherever I am. Imam said, Mubarakan means nafa'an. Isa was beneficial. People benefit from Isa. Wherever he is, they benefit. So, a community that serves humanity, is useful for humanity, is better than a community which either is useless or, na'uzu billah, misguides humanity, troubles humanity. Kuntum khayra ummah ukhrajat lin-nas, not alan-nas. Those who know Arabic, they understand. Lin-nas means for the benefit of mankind, not over mankind. We are not over mankind, we are at the service of humanity. So, we as the community of Ahlul Bayt have to be useful for the larger society. Our neighbors and people in our towns and cities that we live, they should say, MashaAllah, this community is so much contributing. to the welfare, to the morality, to the spirituality of this town, that everyone is admiring them. In this way we can say we are kuntum khayra ummatan ukhrajat lin-nas. We have to look after the community and its members, but at the same time we should show to people that we are beneficial for them. Because people, if they don't see that we are benefiting them and we are contributing, then you know they will start disliking us. You have to always give something to people so that they like you. Allah says to Rasulullah, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah gives you something so that you will be pleased. So what about other people? Everyone is like this. They should feel that they receive something. So we have to contribute to the welfare, and not only financial but also moral, spiritual welfare of the larger society, so that they would be pleased. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرَجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Then immediately Allah says, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You enjoin the good and prohibit the bad. When a community of Ahlul Bayt is in a town or in a country, then by their practice, by their presentations, by their tabligh, the rate of crimes should go down. The rate of divorce should go down. Separation between parents and children should go down. Addiction, drug should go down. Why? Because we have to show to the other people what are the benefits of observing these values and how our community is benefiting, so that they would be encouraged. If we, instead of showing them the beauties of these values, get affected by them, then we are not Muslim. We are not the best ummah. Or if we say, okay, we look after our community and we don't bother about others, this is also not acceptable. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. Or as we had before, ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. Of course, this has to be done with knowledge, with wisdom, with proper method. You cannot, you know, go and shout and scream and say, you know, to people, you know, to observe, you know, this or that. And you have also to understand what is ma'ruf, what is munkar. Inshallah, I will explain. But we have to understand that we have responsibility in any place that we are to be a source of blessing, encouragement for people to go to Allah, to go to religion, to be more virtuous, to be more pious, to be more hardworking, to be more productive. This is our responsibility. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, very much emphasized on Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar. Even some ulama like Ayatollah Mutahhari mentioned that this was perhaps the main reason for whole movement of Imam Hussein. When Imam was in Medina and he was asked to pay allegiance, and Imam was planning for leaving Medina, once he went to the grave of Rasulullah and for farewell, for wada, and he said, O Allah, inni uhibbul ma'roof wa akrahul munkar. So this is a kind of summary of all what he is going to do. O Allah, you know that Hussein loves ma'roof and doesn't like munkar. I cannot be indifferent about what is happening in society, especially when it comes to social problems. If Yazid was drinking alcohol, you know, for example, doing mischief privately, that was another issue. But when these things are done publicly and are getting normal, if you don't do anything, then gradually what happens is that ma'ruf becomes munkar and munkar becomes ma'ruf. Especially when it is done by the people who have power, because people follow those who have power. You know, we have this famous saying that people are like servants or followers of the kings. They follow the kings. Many people, majority of people, follow celebrities, you know, famous people, politicians, those who have power. When you give this position to someone like Yazid, he would affect the rest of people. Day by day, they become like Yazid. So ma'ruf becomes munkar, munkar becomes ma'ruf. Something that is happening also today in the world in many places. You see, sometimes ma'ruf has become munkar. If you speak about something, you know, they laugh at you. What are you saying today? We are living the 21st century in the West. You are talking about this. Some of the ma'ruf, you know, has become munkar, unfortunately. In his will, Imam wrote, when he wanted to leave Medina, he left a will. Very famous saying. He said, "Anni ma kharajtu asharan wala bataran wala mufsidan wala zalima." I am not uprising, this khuruj, this uprising against Yazid, this departure from Medina and starting this movement, is not because I am after any worldly gain. I am not after power, after money, after position. I am not to do mischief. I don't want to do zulm. Everything that Imam was predicting that they may later say and charge him that he has done fasad or zulm. إنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. The only reason is that I want to reform, to bring improvement to the nation, to the community of my grandfather. I have responsibility not to be silent. Islah is opposite to Ifsad. Yazid is Mufsad. He's doing corruption. He's bringing corruption to the society. I have to stand against this and bring reform and Islah and order to the society. إنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. Oh Hussein, how are you going to do this? He replies, أريد أن آمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر. I don't need to create something new. There is a mechanism in Islam. Islam has already designed something for such situations. When corruption is spreading, Islam says the only way to combat is Amr Ma'roof wa Nahi Anil Munkar. To enjoin the good and prohibit the bad. Wa asira bisirat jaddi wa abi Ali ibn Abi Talib. I want to follow the conduct, the sunnah, the manner of Rasulullah and my father. So Imam was very clear that this is not a personal issue. This is not a minor issue. This is a very great issue for the Ummah. Ummah, which is supposed to be, I hope you remember what we discussed in the first night. This Ummah, which was supposed to be witness for rest of humanity so that that ideal society can be achieved, this Ummah is now being corrupted. The one which was supposed to be taken as a standard for others, it's going to be corrupted. So this shows that Imam was in a very critical time. All 124,000 prophets, 313 Rasul, messengers, worked hard so that finally, next to Mecca, according to the Quran, that nation can be formed, as we explained. But Yazid is changing everything. Muawiyah was not doing that much damage, because Muawiyah was keeping Ma'ruf and Munkar, but pretended that he's observing Ma'ruf. So much so that even today there are people who praise Muawiyah. People who are religious, some of them, you know, really are thinking that he was a good person. But Yazid was someone who was deliberately doing all the sins and facade without any hesitation. So Islam was getting completely lost, not only in practice, in presentation, in theory also. So Imam Hussein had to do something. Otherwise, all the efforts of the prophets were lost. And in my understanding, this is one reason why we say to Imam Hussein, As-salamu alayka ya warisa Adam, Safatullah, ya warisa Nuh al-Nabiyyallah. Because all the legacy of them reached Hussein, and if Hussein was not uprising, everything was lost. أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَنْهَا أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. On the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein in Karbala, or in, I don't know, maybe it was not day of Ashura, I just doubt it. But anyway, in Karbala, Imam said, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى الْحَقِّ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ. Truth, Haqq. Don't you see that no one bothers about Haqq? Haqq is ignored. Yazid has no concern for Haqq. وَإِلَى الْبَاطِلِ لَا يُتَنَاهَا. And don't you see that falsehood is not abandoned? They do batil without any worry. They forget Haqq without any worry. Then Imam said, when situation is like this, لَيَرْغَبَ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. In such a situation, it's better for mu'min to ask Allah to die and not see that in your presence this is happening. You are there and people disregard Haqq and you don't do anything. You have to be ready to give your life to change this. فَإِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتِ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمًا. Hussein doesn't consider life something valuable under all circumstances. Life with honor, with dignity, with respect, worth living. Life which is at the service of Haqq is worth living. But life which is at the service of batil, or just for few more, you know, I don't know, kilograms of rice and meat to be eaten, this is not worth living. Life under the banner of Yazid is not something that you wish, you know, to have. لا أرى الموت إلا سعادة والحياة مع الظالمين إلا برمة. These are the things that we have to tell people about Imam Hussein. Sometimes brothers ask, sisters ask, you know, what should we say to people about Imam Hussein when we want to introduce Imam Hussein? Of course, you know, we can say Imam Hussein was thirsty, children were mistreated. These are very important. But the main thing is this point. Why Imam Hussein was ready to go to all these difficulties and troubles for himself and his family? Because he wanted to give a lesson to all of us, not only as Muslims or as Shia, as all human beings, that when you see Haqq is ignored, when you see justice is ridiculed, when you see crimes are being done with the good names, under, you know, good names, hypocrisy, dishonesty is there, that is the time to do something to reform. Otherwise, you will be also counted as one of those corrupt people. Imam Hussein alayhi salam also said, as you know, this famous hadith, he quoted from Rasulullah, Man ra'a sultanan ja'iran. Whoever sees that there is an unjust king, ruler, who disregards the covenant of Allah, who treats people with zulm, who doesn't observe Allah's regulations, وَلَمْ يُقَيِّرْ عَلَيْهِ, and doesn't protest, doesn't object, بِقَوْلٍ, either by word or fail, كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ مُدْخَلَهُ. Allah has the right to put him in the same place that he puts that person in hell. كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ مُدْخَلَهُ. So if we keep silent and we don't do anything to stop batil, to stop zulm, we are also responsible. So we have to be saying this to the people about Imam Hussein. And I am sure then every person who wants to reform his society, I don't know his country, then would be very much looking for getting inspiration from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, giving reference, courage, support from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as I explained, did something which was for humanity, not only for Muslims. One of the things that, inshallah, maybe I get time to explain, is that before Imam Hussein, there was always a problem. And also after Imam Hussein, most of the time there's a problem. People try to justify differences by saying that these are different interpretations. Why Imam Ali alayhi salam was not given the right of Khilafah? They say, you know, there was misunderstanding, there was no agreement. People had different views. Why Muawiyah stood against Imam Ali? Say, he did ijtihad. He did his own ijtihad. Imam Ali did his own ijtihad. You know, all the things, you know, they justify. They say this was different understanding, different interpretation of Islam. So they try to make everything very much, you know, maintained and contained within different ijtihad and, you know, personal opinions and these type of things. Also, when you say what happened to other people, they also say this is internal issue. What happened between Imam Ali and, for example, Muawiyah or, you know, others? They say, okay, this is a problem inside Islam. Like what happens today. Today, unfortunately, there are many important issues for humanity, but many people try to say this is Sunni-Shia conflict. This is a big, you know, big crime, big zulm. There is no issue of Sunni-Shia. This is issue of haq, batil, zulm, adala. Of course, maybe there is no 100% haq on this side and 100% batil on that side. But you have to understand the general picture. But people want to say, no, this is Sunni-Shia conflict. So many things that have happened in the history, also they say the same. If Imam Kazim alayhi salam was killed by Harun, they say this was personal, internal problem between Muslims. There is nothing interesting for rest of humanity. But in the case of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the situation became so obvious. And the contrast between Imam and his army, and Yazid and his army, was so sharp that it's no longer possible for anyone to say this was because of different interpretation of Islam or because this was an internal issue among Muslims. No. This is the contrast between haq and batil, between virtues and vices, between zulm and adl. And this is why you see even Hindus have sympathy with Imam Hussein. If it was, you know, something based on different understanding of Islam, Hindus say, you know, this is your own business, this is not my business. You see Hindus, Christians, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, all have sympathy with Imam Hussein. Why? Because it has become an issue for humanity. Now we need to have this insight to continue this process and show Imam Hussein's values to the people of the world in the way that they can understand and they can appreciate as an issue for humanity, not only for the Shia, as something that all humanity can learn and benefit from. So this is what we have to do. There is a set of hadith about Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, and I mention only maybe two, and inshallah we continue this discussion inshallah tomorrow. In Tafsir Ayyashi, you know, one of our early tafsir which contains hadith, is tafsir based on hadith. There is hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. About this verse which was recited, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا الْخَيْرِ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, that في هذه الآية تكفير أهل المعاصي بالمعصية لأنه من لم يكن يدعو إلى الخيرات ويأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر بين المسلمين فليس من الأمة. Imam Sadiq said, when Allah says this community, this ummah is the ummah that invites towards good and does amr ma'ruf and nahi munkar, so if someone is not doing this, he's not part of ummah. So he's not a Muslim, he's not a mu'min. لأنكم تزعمون أن جميع المسلمين من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد بدت هذه الآية وقد وصفت أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بالدعاء إلى الخير والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. You think everyone is Muslim, but this ayah is saying that a requirement of being Muslim is to do da'wah towards good, to do amr ma'roof. وَمَنْ لَمْ تُوجَدْ فِيهِ هَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ أَلَّتِي وُصِفَتْ بِهَا فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ. He cannot be one of the ummah. So I cannot be indifferent when I see in my family, in community, in the society, something bad is happening. I have responsibility. What should be my reaction? That is another issue. We will talk about it, inshallah, but also it needs more time in future. You know, you should follow it up. But we have to be responsible. We have to feel pain. The minimum is you should feel pain and try to do something. And one more hadith, there are many hadiths, but one more hadith which is very moving is about a person who was a worshipper. You know, in the past there were people who were known as Abid, as Zahid. So this hadith says that Kana Rajulun Shaykh Nasik Ya'budullah fi Bani Israel. In those early centuries in the Bani Israel, there was a man who was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, some of people who always, you know, pray, fast, you know, this type of people. فَبَيْنَا هُوَ يُصَلِّ وَهُوَ فِي عِبَادَتِهِ إِذْ بَصُرَ بِغُلَامَيْنِ سَبِيَّيْنِ. When he was praying, in the middle of prayer, he saw there are two young boys and they are playing with a chicken. قَدْ أَخَذَ دِيكًا. They took a chicken. وَهُمَا يَنْتَفَانِ رِيشَهُ. They were taking out the feather of this animal, this bird. فَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى مَا هُوَ فِي مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ. He continued his salat, his ibadah, dua, recitation, whatever it was. Didn't bother about this poor animal in the hand of those two boys. وَلَمْ يَنْهَهُمَا عَنْ ذَلِكَ. He didn't do نَهْيًا الْمُنْكَرِ. فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ أَنْ سِيخِي بِعَبْدِي فَصَاخَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah said to earth, swallow this man, because he didn't do نَهْيًا الْمُنْكَرِ. So imagine, if one animal is so important for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what about people watching human beings being mistreated and they don't do anything? May Allah have mercy on us. If earth is not swallowing us, you know, we have to be very grateful. So, this is the significance of Amr bil-Ma'roof and Nahya anil-Munkar. As a community, we have to, inshallah, observe this. Tonight, we remember Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, a man whose life is the life of fazl and merits and virtues, and a man who was from the beginning, even from the time that Amirul Mu'mineen was looking for a pious wife, pious suitable wife, was thinking of some children who could be brave and could help Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is said that in the time of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, although Abu al-Fazl Abbas was a teenager, because he was just 14 when Amirul Mu'mineen was killed, but still he had the experience of taking part in some of the battles. So in the battle of Siffin, although he was just a teenager, he took part in the battle. In one incident, it is said that Abu al-Fadl Abbas covered his face and went to battle. So the people were asking, who is this teenager? Because they could not see his face. He's very brave, fighting, you know, very bravely. So no one was daring to go and fight this young boy. Then Muawiyah said to one of his commander called Ibn Sha'athar, go and fight and kill this boy. Ibn Sha'athar said, a commander like me to go and fight a teenager is not good for me. I will send my children to go and fight. So he sent his eldest son to fight Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, and he was killed. Then he sent his second son, was killed. The history says that he sent seven sons and all were killed by Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Then he went himself and Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas killed him. Then he went back to Imam Ali alayhi salam and he opened his face and Amir al-Mu'mineen kissed his forehead. So everyone surprised that this was Abbas, such a brave man. When Muawiyah blocked the water in the battle of Siffin, Imam Hussein with a group of young people went to open access to the water, and Abu al-Fazl was one of them, although he was a teenager. So he was a man of bravery, a man that was never afraid of fighting, and his honor was always to be at the service of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave him a great responsibility. Not only he was Saqqa, but also he was the one who was carrying the flag of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And you know, in those days, as long as flag was in the sky visible, it means that the war was not over. Still, there was a hope of victory. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwah allati allat bifinaik alayka minni salamullah أبدا ما بقيت وبغي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. When Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas saw that Imam Hussein is alone and he has no helper, he went to Imam and asked for permission to go to battle. Imam said, Ya Akhi, Anta Sahibu Levai. Oh my brother, you are the standard bearer of my army. وَإِذَا مَضَيْتَ تَفَرَّقَ عَسْكَرِي. If you also go and get killed, then my army is defeated. فَقَالَ الْعَبَّاسُ قَدْ ضَاقَ صَدْرِي وَسَئِمْتُ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ. Oh Hussein, my chest is full of pain and I have no interest in life. I think it was because Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas knew that he could not do anything more for Imam and wanted to be killed before Imam.
فقال الحسين عليه السلام فاطلب لهؤلاء الأطفال قليلا من الماء. So before you go for battle, please see if you can take some water for the children from these people. فذهب العباس وحذرهم. Abu al-Fazl Abbas went and gave them warning and said, you should give water to the children of Peygamber, of the Prophet. فَلَمْ يَنُفَعُوا. But they didn't listen. فَرَجَعَ إِلَىٰ أَخِي. He went back to Imam Hussein and said, these people are not giving water. فسمع الأطفال ينادون الأتاش الأتاش. Then Abu al-Fazl children are saying Atash, they are thirsty. According to some books, he saw that some children are putting their stomach on the jars of water, so that they can at least feel the cool of water. So he decided to go himself towards the Euphrates, although it was surrounded by 4,000 soldiers. Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas managed to reach the water. He took some water in his hand and wanted to drink and gain some energy. But then ذكر عطش الحسين. He remembered the thirst of Hussein, so dropped water and filled the jar of water. And he started going back towards the tent. Then one of the enemies attacked Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas on his right hand and cut off his right hand. He quickly took water with his left hand and said, وَاللَّهِ غَتَعْتُمُهُ يَمِينِ أَنِّي أُحَامِي أَبَدًا أَنْدِينِ. By Allah, if you cut my right hand, I am going to continue defending my religion. وَأَنْ إِمَامٍ صَادِقِ الْيَقِينِ. I am going to defend my Imam, نَجْلِ النَّبِيَ الطَّاهِرِ الْأَمِينِ, who is the grandson of the Prophet, who was pure and honest. Then Hakim ibn Tufail, who was hiding behind a palm tree, went from the left side and attacked the left hand of Abu al-Fazl. So he took water jar with his teeth and said, Ya nafs, la takhshay min al-kuffari. Oh my soul, don't have any fear of these kuffar. وَأَبْشِرِي بِرَحْمَةِ الْجَبَّارِ. Get the good news of mercy of Allah, مَعَ النَّبِيِّ السَّيِّدِ الْمُخْتَارِ. You will soon be joining Rasulullah. قَدْ غَتَعُوا بِبَغْيِهِمْ يَسَارِ. With their zulm they have cut off my left hand. فَأَسْلِمْ يَا رَبْ حَرَّ النَّارِ. O Allah, please make them taste the heat of it. But still he was happy that at least with his teeth he can take some water to the children of Hussein. But then enemies shooted some arrows to the jar of water, and one of them hit his head. Then Abu al-Fazl dropped, lost his hope, and said, Ya Akha, Adrik Akhaak. Abu al-Fazl, who was really calling Hussein as brother, he was always saying, Imam, said, Oh brother, come towards your brother. Imam Hussein alayhi salam quickly went towards the body of Abu al-Fazl. And when he saw what happened to Abul Fasid Alon in Qasr Zahri, now my back is broken. Wagalladi Hussein has no hope anymore. The Hujja of Allah, the Imam of Jinn and Ins, when he loses Abul Fasid, he says, my back is broken. Up to now, I had hoped that you could save my family, my children, but now who is after you? To look after the tents, after the ladies, after the children. Rahman az kasrat dushman zahar su bastebu. This is describing the situation of Imam Hussein when he wanted to go towards the body of Abul Fasid. Rahman az kasrat dushman zahar su bastebu. My way towards you from every corner, every angle was blocked because there were so many enemies. Dagha pey dar pey o gama beham pey vazde bud. Tragedies kept happening and befalling on me. بس که از میدان درون خیمه آوردم شهید بود سر تا پای من خونین و زینب خسته بود. I have brought so many martyrs towards the tents that my body was covered with blood and my Zainab was exhausted. هر شهیدی شاهکاری داشت در اینجا ولی کارایت ای برادر جان همه برجسته بود. Every martyr in this battle did something great, something memorable, but you brother were different. You were very special. تا به سوی خیمه برگردی مگر با مشک آب جام در دستش رقیه منتظر بنشسته بود. My رقیه was keeping a cup in her hand waiting for you to bring water. من تک و تنها گشودم راه قربانگاه تو. گرچه دشمن هر زمان در هر طرف یک دست بود. I had to find my way towards you inside thousands of enemies to come to you. بر زمین افتاد دیدم پیکرت را غرق خون مشک خالی و دو دست و پرچمی بشکسته بود. Imagine in what condition Imam saw the body of Abul Fasid. A body without hands, a body full of injuries. پشت من از داغ جان سوزد برادر جان شکست چون که رکن نهضتم بر همتت وابسته بود. Oh brother, because of the pain of losing you my back is broken because my army was totally dependent on you. هرچه کوشیدم که در برگیرمت ممکن نشد بس که دشمن جمله اعضایت زم بگذسته بود. I did my best to carry your body towards tents like other martyrs. No matter how much I tried, I could not carry your body. The body was so much damaged by enemy. خواستم آنگه ببندم چشمهایت را اخا. I tried at least to close your eyes. لیک پیش از من عدو با تیر چشمت بسته بود But before I close your eye The enemy did arrows close your علی لعنت الله علی القوم الظالمین وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منغلب ينغلبون نسألك اللهم وندعوك.
This is good time for dua. We have many hajat for ourselves and community and humanity.
نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبالقرآن المستحكم وبفاطمة الأبياء وبعليا وبنيا والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 Please let us be with Muhammad and all Muhammad in dunya and akhirah. Please do not separate us from Imam Hussein and Lady Zainab in dunya and akhirah. Oh Allah, please forgive our sins and mistakes right now. Please send your unlimited mercy to all Maroomin, Maroomin of this community, our parents, full parents, our teachers, ulama, and everyone who has right upon us. Please give your shifa right now to all who are ill. Please protect us, our youths, our families, our community from anything which is bad and disliked. Oh Allah, please make our Imam Zaman happy with us. Oh Allah, please don't bring that day that our Imam is angry with us. Please hasten the appearance of Imam Zaman. Please make it as soon as possible, as easy as possible. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين
يا حسين
لیک علم تم آو علم دار مشک برک